and the letters will be on the back, in the back, in their slots afterwards. So we'll have three missionaries that we'll pray for this morning. We're going to pray for the Norman family. And this one has some pictures on the back, too, of some things. If you would like to give to missions, yes, go ahead and come up, put your missions offering in the missions box. So the pictures on the back are at the going away celebration for the Norman family as they go away to do the work that the Lord has called them to do. And so praise God for that. Also, they are very close, so close to their 100% goal. They're just over 90% of their support. So be in prayer that their support will increase to the full support. The Young family, Graham and Olivia Young, they have an update here. You can read on your own. We're going to pray for them. And they are praising the Lord for arriving there. And you'll have to look up what SMITE is. He says that the Truth Baptist Church hosted SMITE. You have to look that up. You have to look them up on Facebook or something to figure out what that stands for. But it is it's an acronym. It's not. He didn't mean that the church started smacking people. So anyhow, so that's that is in that. And anyhow, so they do pray that they would be able to quickly get into a home of their own there, and also that more laborers would commit to coming to Nigeria. You can also find, if you look up Brother Nate Wilkerson's Facebook page, there's a video, I think, over the last day or two that he posted with him and Brother Graham Young in it. And it was a biblical illustration of salvation. And they're climbing up a sand hill. And so, interesting there. But we'll also pray for the Howard family this morning. Amen. Good reminder. Let's all get our cell phones out. Put them on silent, please. Put your cell phones on silent. You know, I kind of feel like some people avoided our warhead challenge. Because there's people here now that weren't in here during the warhead challenge. Yeah. We'll get you later. After the service, before we dismiss out of this room, everybody that is participating today will participate in front of everyone. So we've got at least four, I think, right? Eric, did you participate yet? Uh-huh. Well, we'll get you. All right. Amen. So, sorry, I got distracted. I looked up and I saw people that were... honestly, Brother Bella, you got me, man. You walked in and I was like, hey, wait a minute. He didn't participate. And he's been here all day. And no excuse. Yes, there's sugar in it, but you'll be all right. All right. Just this once. Now, don't go on a sugar binge. All right. So, for the Howard family. We're going to pray for the Howard family, our missionaries to Utah. Does anybody remember where the other missionaries go? The other two that I mentioned? Nigeria for the Young family. And the Normans are everywhere, yes. But particularly, do you know what island they're going to help at? Let's see if he actually listed it here. It has a lot of water around it. That would be a very correct statement. That is definitely correct. Yes, anybody? Anybody, anybody? Do you know? That is not correct. But if I owned an island, that's what I'm going to name it. As long as it doesn't mean anything bad. Man, I can't remember now either. But it is an island over, not a Philippine island, but somewhere over that way. No, he has been to Saipan. Tinian, yes, Tinian. Tinian, yes. You got it. Amen. See, Brother Wilhelm with his memory. My goodness. What's that? Amen. Brother Wilhelm, you got, oh man, it's an anomaly. It's two for one deal. Oh, don't open it in the sanctuary unless you're on the actual challenge. I think you dropped one of them. They tore apart when you caught them. All right, don't open it in the sanctuary unless you're actually being part of the challenge. The trash can has been put away, so no food in the sanctuary. All right, very good. Yes, Tinian. Okay, so the Howard family going to Utah. I already said that. But they praise the Lord for two men to possibly begin Bible studies with, and that they're getting settled and developing routines, and that there are many opportunities to share the gospel. They ask you to pray for their neighbors, and specifically pray for Frank and Scott for salvation. And so we will we'll pray for the Normans, the Youngs, and the Howards. Pastor Adams, you pray for the missionaries for us this morning and open us in prayer. Pray for our church service, and we'll sing the last two songs, last two verses of 303.
Father, we love you. Thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing in the church, the missionaries. We pray that you bless the Mormons, Lord, that they would have full support, Lord, soon, and bless them as they travel to the island of Tinian, Lord, and just pray that you can stay. I believe they're actually already there, but pray to be with them, Lord, to be with the Howard family as they are going to Utah, Lord, to be with them and the Graham, the Young family, as they're looking for a house there. I just pray, God, that you will bless their story and get them close to the way.
Amen. Amen. You are not the first person to do that. When you call them the Graham, I mean the Young family.
Yeah.
That is that has happened quite a bit, yeah. So it's easy to do when you have two first names or two last names for your first name. For your, never mind. 303, third verse. I'm sorry, I still have this. Is my tongue blue? Well, amen. It's not sour anymore. All right, 303, verse 3.
No chilling winds nor poisonous breath can reach that healthful shore. Sickness and sorrow, pain and death are felt and fear no more. I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land. When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed? When shall I see my Father's face and in His bosom rest? I am bound for the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land.
Amen. You may be seated. We'll do some announcements here real quick. All right. If you didn't know, today is Warhead Sunday. So if you can't... My lips aren't blue, too, are they? Okay, good. I preach with blue lips and a blue tongue. What's that? Yes, okay. So, today is Warhead Sunday. So, we have been challenging one another. Now, the message has nothing to do with... Well, yes, it might actually have something to do with warheads, but it was not intended that way. But here's our challenge today. If you missed it, you will not miss it, because we will make sure of that. All right, so trying to fall over on me. Next week we have a chili cook-off. That's going to be a good time. We're going to have a chili cook-off, and a few of us are going to be very, very judgmental on purpose, because that is what we need to do. Bring your best chili. And we will have a good time with the chili cook-off next week. Also, after the morning service, after we get started on eating some chili, we're going to have at least one baptism. We may have more, but we will have at least one baptism. Brother Mike, who got saved at the tent this year, he said, "Wait a minute, Brother Mike's a member of our church already." Yeah, that happens sometimes. You think you got saved, but you didn't really get saved. And then you get saved. When that happens, we baptize them scripturally, right? And so that's what we're going to do. We have a few others that I'm talking to about baptism. There's a whole list of recent professions there in our prayer list. Just pray that the Lord would give guidance on that, and that everybody would be able to be ready for baptism in the right time for each of them. Yes, sir. All right. Yes. Hold on a second, though. Hold on. I want you to say it, but not... I know you just kind of said it, but hold on, hold on. Because we're not having Thursday night service, we're not going to take prayer requests right now, but if you have something you need to update the prayer list or the praise part of the prayer list, make sure that it gets to Brother Dan so that he can put it on there, or you can get it to me. I'll put it on my bulletin. But we do have a really important praise that we were praying for this week. Brother Brandon? Yes. Amen. So praise God. Remember, Brother Brandon was applying there at Securitas. You know, this has happened twice since I've known you. You've said to me, "I'm going to get a job at this place." And like the next church service, he's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, I got hired." Remember with UPS, it was that way. It's like, got a job at UPS. And he's like, "Ah, you know what, I'm going to switch to FedEx." And they gave him the job. And then Securitas, boom, got the job. So some of y'all need to talk to him about how he's just, you know, anyhow. So seek first the kingdom. Amen. Oh, yes, yes. You got the background check and all that stuff has got to go through quick. There's nothing on there, right? So it should be just fine. The security is taken care of by our women. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We do not have any official security officers. However, we do have men that are willing to stand up and protect their families. And so you get into like insurance and all kinds of stuff when you start talking about like official security officers of the church. Yeah, you have to take it back. Yes, thank you. I'm just messing with you. Scratch it from the list. So, yep, none of those allowed. Amen. So, on the baptism thing, if you got saved at the tent or recently got saved, I do want to encourage you to follow the Lord, obey the Lord in believer's baptism. If you have not talked to me about that yet, please talk to me after service today, and we can try to make arrangements. It does not have to be on the chili cook-off day. It can be another day. We can plan for baptisms in October also. But Brother Mike was chomping at the bit, and so we're going to get that done on chili cook-off day. But I'd like to baptize another if we can on that day, and then at least one more, and then we'll see about anybody left over. We'll take care of in October maybe. But chili cook-off next week. After that, and I didn't think to put it on here, but we'll have to put it on this Saturday. The following week, we have Candy Bar Sunday. And I have to give you a heads up, a disclaimer in advance. We're not going to do what we did today where we have a challenge where we see who... Well, maybe we will. I don't know. I'll leave it up to them. If you guys want to see who can eat a candy bar the fastest, maybe you can do that. I don't know about all that. But anyhow, I will be in South Dakota. We do need to get candy bars. Probably Sam's Club is going to be the best price. Yes, ma'am. Yes? Yep, but we have to watch out for allergies. Allergies. Brother Dan has a peanut allergy, so don't get any peanut. No paydays. Or peanut type candy bars. What? No. Really? No. Some of them don't have candy. Okay, so just keep the nutty bars away from the candy bars that have peanuts. Keep them away from the ones that don't have peanuts. We good with that? Keep them away from each other so that there's no cross contamination. Yeah. Or bring an EpiPen and just give it to them with the candy bar. Yeah. So, we could just do zeros. I'm just kidding. Has anybody ever had a zero candy bar?
No.
My mom used to. That was her favorite candy bars. She'd have a zero like, well, at least once a week or every day for a while. They are still around. Zeros are still around. Yep. Maybe do a little bit of variety, all right? So anyhow, that'll be the Sunday that I'll be gone. He will be preaching on that day. That's on October 2nd. And so yeah, that'll be a great time. And then we've got lots in store in October. Don't forget that the tent meeting was extended. It is extended through this week. Also, I forgot to put it on there. I'm going to write it down right now. Who Will Go conference. It is in, what were the dates for that? 29th through the 1st? September 29th through the 1st. No, it's not. That's October 31st and November 1st. So September 29th through the 1st, and that is a missions conference of sorts. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I think it's geared toward youth. It is in Rushville, yes. Brother Travis was talking to Brother Chris. I don't know if you guys decided anything. If he decides to take a group of youth on that, if we're not doing the tent meeting and you want to take a group of youth, if you want to help him, take a group of youth on that Thursday night instead of our church service, take them out there for the Who Will Go conference. I'm fine with that. And then the Friday night as well. However, my kids will be with me getting ready to... Well, no, you've got something Friday. So we'll see. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, yes. Yeah, I do believe so. Well, Friday, it's all day Friday. So it's not an overnight. No. They do have a Who Will Go camp, but it's not this. So Thursday night and then Friday all day and Saturday all day. They have like training sessions and different things like that. It's supposed to be pretty cool. So, what? Who is it for? It's youth focused. I think they allow adults, but it's youth focused. So, and it also, oh man. No, okay, good. Never mind. It's not going to interfere with the youth rally because the youth rally is the next Friday. So anyhow, if you're interested in the Who Will Go conference, see Brother Travis. He's got the info. He's been talking to Brother Chris about it. So y'all communicate that and work it out, and we'll figure it out. So, amen. Also on the on October 22nd, there is a young ladies retreat at the same church in Rushville, and it'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a young ladies, so it's what, 13 to 18, 10 to 18. Okay, 10 to 18, and so like to send some young ladies to that, and you know, obviously a couple adult ladies to go along as well. And then, of course, our missions conference, the last day of October, first day of November. I think that's it. What am I missing? Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. So we did some, like, birthday singing earlier in the month, but we're going to do some more because why not? My mom's birthday was yesterday. She is 39 years old now. Yep, turned 39 yesterday. Yes, I'm also 39. We're twins. So we're twins born on different days, okay? but we just happen to be the same age. Anyways, Amelia's birthday is tomorrow. She will also be 39. We're triplets. No, I'm kidding. No, Amelia will be 16 tomorrow. Yeah, 16 tomorrow. Let's see here. What's the next one? Well, my Aunt Bertie's birthday is today. Aunt Bertie, we love you. Happy birthday. Is it that one that's on? I'm like cross-eyed. So, happy birthday. We love you. If you're not viewing this, we still love you and you'll see us later. All right. And we hope you get feeling better. So my mom's birthday was yesterday. Now, Melissa's birthday was the day before. The other. Today. Oh, okay. What? Was yesterday? Merle got me so confused on that. Okay. So, my stepsister's birthday was yesterday with my mom. And then my Aunt Bertie, who usually comes with my mom, her birthday is today. Amelia's birthday is tomorrow. Friday? Next Sunday. Hey. Next Sunday. Hey. Chili. Chili, man. We're having chili for your birthday. Amen. Ezra's birthday is before that, though. Oh, same day. Same day. Next Sunday. Woo! All right. Mary's is Tuesday? Next Tuesday, the following. Okay. Okay. We're all twins! Y'all love how that works? We're all twins? Yeah. Joanne Smith. Okay. Okay. I'd have to think about who she is. Well, two actually, but yeah. So, Sister Gimlet, her birthday is the 30th. I keep trying to say it's this coming Friday. It's this coming Friday, every Friday until it actually is this coming Friday. And so it's next, not this coming, but next Friday. You know what? Every Sunday in September, we're just going to be like birthdays and be like, this person has a birthday, this person has a birthday, this person has a birthday. Who am I missing? Shay has a birthday the same day as her birthday, Friday the 30th. Yes. And we're all turning 39. I don't have a birthday in September. So I'm not turning 39 ever. Yes, just like Brother Methuselah here. That's next month. I heard you got him. That was great. That was great. Amen. All right, so happy birthday, everybody. You know what? It is so close to some birthday. We're just going to sing a happy birthday every week, okay? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, amen. Amen. What? Cake. Cake. Oh, man. We had plenty of sugar. Do you want another one of these? All right. So, lots of stuff coming up. Don't forget the cookbook. The ladies are collecting recipes for the cookbook. Is that what you're about to tell me?
No.
Oh. Cards? There are some cards back there. Oh, recipe cards. Yes. Recipe cards back there to write them on? Cool. In the basket. In the basket on the back table. There you go. Am I missing anything else? Anything? All right. Let's go ahead and make ready for the offering. We didn't sing. Oh, man. Okay. Hey, you want to sing this? Come on up here. Yes, right now. We'll sing it right now. All right. One moment.
Technical difficulties. All right. Brother Travis, go ahead and lead us in prayer. Go ahead.
Lord, thank you so much for today, God. Thanks for your blessings and the tent meeting that we've been experiencing, Lord. We pray that we all may, that we haven't got right with you, Lord, that may get right with you, Lord, that may not have no hindrance to our prayers, God, and to the prayers of others as well, that we are part of the same body, Lord. And God, just pray to make a blessings offering, Lord, as we get back to your work here in our church, Lord. Just pray to make a help to stretch forth your hand to our community and wherever you may see fit as well, Lord, to give wisdom and guidance on how to do so, God. Lord, just thank you for your being blessing. I pray that you may answer our prayers today, Lord. Send forth more labor to your work here, God. And just pray that you may, Lord, by all we do, for the name of Jesus.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer, you ask me where they are. I say, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far as the darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, there's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Was at the old time altar.
Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt. 421.
When Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. As far removed as darkness is.
Grab your Bibles. I know there's like a few other songs I had planned to sing, but we are somehow out of time. Got blasted with some warheads and it blew us out of time. Grab your Bibles and stand, please. Turn to the book of Revelation. Yes, we're continuing in the book of Revelation now. Revelation chapter number 14. And keep an eye on my mic here. It's been on for like days now, so I don't know if it's going to live or... Oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Junior Church, see you guys later. Love you, kids. See you. 9 years old and below. Head on out to Junior Church. Sorry. Revelation chapter number 14. Revelation chapter number 14. Thanks for reminding me there. I had another song, actually. Look at this. See here it says hymn number 20 there, and then it says Dismiss Kids right next to it. We didn't sing it, so I forgot. So, Revelation chapter 14. We're going to look just at verse number 8 tonight. Yes, exactly. It's already night. Yes. It's getting close. Yes, that's right. Whew, buddy. Revelation 14, verse number 8. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity here to just open it up, Lord, and look at this this fall, the sinking, the falling of Babylon. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you would just help me, Lord, to preach what you'd have preached this this day. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to pay close attention to what you have for each of us. Lord, I pray that you'd use me, and Lord, that you'd speak through me and then speak within the believer. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would convict sinners, Lord, as well. We look forward to what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. The title today, Revelation chapter 14, part 3, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen. I've got four main points today and 1,000 sub-points. I have four main points and then 4 points of, or then I'll have some sub-points within, but 4 points of application at the end that go along with those points. But just to keep us in our context, where we are in the book of Revelation, I'm going to come down here because some of y'all, you got the sugar from the warheads and you're just like, gone, right? So let's stay awake, all right? I'll come down and help you if you need me to, all right? So if you're falling asleep, just raise your hand and I'll come over and help you. All right, I'm just kidding. So where are we? Yes, we're in church, amen. Where are we in the book of Revelation? We're in chapter 14. What's happened so far? You're helping me here, okay? What's happened so far? There were some horses, yes. Okay, so there were horses in a lot of places, yes. You had the four horsemen there from the first four seals of the seal judgments, and then you had the 200 million horsemen that were at a later point in one of the trumpet judgments. So we're in the book of Revelation. We are about the midway point of the tribulation. Okay? So along those lines, being at the midway point of the tribulation, yes, we're going to cover some territory that we've covered before. And you say, Pastor, why do we keep covering these things? Because now, what is becoming common to you is very uncommon to most people. Most Christians don't know their Bibles very well. And that's why we go back. We go back. We go back. We go back. I'm preparing you for it already. We're going to go back to the book of Genesis again. Okay? Surprise, surprise. But the Bible and human history is like a great tapestry. And it's like a great tapestry. Y'all know what a tapestry is? It's like a big blanket or rug or something, right? It's a woven work of art. Okay, and let's say like there's this big tapestry hanging here, right here, okay? And there's this beautiful picture of the glory of God in this tapestry. But along this tapestry, you have over here on this side here on the edge, what do you have along the edge of a tapestry usually? What's that? A border, but you got something sticking out on the edge. Maybe tassels, but you have threads. Threads, right? They're just sticking out at the end, right? And those threads, they go through the tapestry, right? And so, when you're reading a book of the Bible, there are threads like a tapestry that pass through. And you have, what happens with the red thread that passes through right here? Well, it's going to have like a green thread and a blue thread and a white thread, and they're going to intertwine with one another. You have threads that run this way and threads that run this way, right? Well, in the Bible, we have similar things, right? We have this great tapestry, and yeah, I'm using maybe a little bit of a newer analogy for you, but this great tapestry, it's a picture of the glory of God. And through this tapestry, you have woven into this, you have the thread of the blood of Christ, that red thread that flows through that tapestry. You have the thread of the blood of Christ. You have the thread of the kingdom of God. You have the thread of the kingdoms of man. You have the thread that runs through sin, runs through. You have this thread that runs through the stone which the builders rejected. You've got a thread that runs through all the way through. You've got the seed that runs through, right? From Genesis chapter 3 all the way through. You've got the seed. And you've got all these genealogies and everything that has to do with that seed, that thread that goes along through there. all of the historical things. You have kings and kingdoms, and you also have the religious authority thread that flows through, and all of these things, and every doctrine of the Bible runs through like a thread. Right? Runs through like a thread. And if you grab one thread and yank it out and mess it up and then try to stick it back in where it goes, what's it do? It messes up the whole tapestry, doesn't it? So when we talk about, and oh man, then you have a thread, the bride. You have a thread, you know, with like, oh man, you just think about all these. You have the bride that God made for Adam, and then you have the bride that goes through the nation that God chose for Himself, and then you have the bride, the church later, and all these things, and it's from beginning to end, all of these threads that run through. Okay, so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to give you a big picture, so that you understand when I go back to Genesis. It's not always to touch on the same things. Oftentimes, it's to deal with, okay, here's a new thread. You're like, that thread, Pastor, looks a whole lot like another thread that we pulled on one time and looked at. Well, yeah, some of them do look very similar. And we're going to talk about Babylon today a lot. That's the whole message. We're going to talk about Babylon again in a few chapters. And we talked about them before in a few chapters ago. But in the book of Revelation, where we are in the book of Revelation, prophecy, that's another thread that runs through the Bible, where God says this is going to happen, like, okay, we're over here on this end of the timeline with the thread, right? You say, this is going to happen over there. And so you have a little picture here of something that's going to happen over here. And then a little picture here of something that's going to happen over there. And you have the prophets and prophecies and things, right, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And so when you read your Bible and when you study the Bible, you begin to learn that these threads are important to start noting. This, by the way, that's why I think it's not a bad idea, and that's why I decided to do it like 7 years ago, I think, to start going through the Bible fast, multiple times a year. Because, yes, you do need study time. Now, as a pastor, I get study time all the time. But my normal Bible reading time, besides what I do with you guys, is all the way through the Bible pretty quick. Now it's monthly. But the reason for doing that isn't to catch every little thing, but to see the threads as they pass through. It's to see the big picture and then look and say, oh, wow, I remember hearing that yesterday, 4 books ago, because you happen to touch on so many things within a short period of time that it starts to mix together in a good way. And it's woven as a beautiful tapestry of the glory of God. So, our 4 points today, they all start with the letter S. And I'll tell them to you one at a time. So the first point, and they're all right out of the text. The first point is her story. Her story. So, in our text it says, Babylon, and I'm going to skip a few words. We'll come back to those in a little while. But it says, Babylon, that great city. That great city. Her story, the story of Babylon. I don't want to spend a ton of time talking about it all the way through. But if you remember back in Genesis, right, when Noah got off the ark, I'm just going to try to give some summary here. But when Noah got off the ark, what happened? What was he given? He was given the Noahic covenant, and with the Noahic covenant, God established the kingdom of man. Correct. And so man was then to govern himself, not himself, but govern one another, right? And so there were governments set up. Well, man decides, this is wonderful. We love this. And so this Nimrod fellow, he decides to set up his kingdom. And he sets up a kingdom in Babel, you've got the Ninevites that end up coming out of that kingdom, and all, you know, Assyria and all of that ends up coming out of this kingdom. Well, you have the tower that they build, the city and the tower, the city and tower of Babel, right? Now, I don't believe that this is exactly location and name for Babylon, okay? But it is of the same kingdom, the kingdom of man. And so, as you tug that little thread so you can see where it heads, through there, right? I'm pulling the little thread, the kingdom of man. It's yellow. Just pull this little thread. I'm just kidding. You've got the kingdom of man that's just woven all throughout this, right? You have this kingdom. Oh, man. So many things that I want to talk about, but we don't really have time. Man messed up, right? You get the confusion of the languages, right? And you have they scatter. There's a little bit of time that passes, and God says, okay, I'm going to go ahead and make my kingdom. Here's what's amazing about God's kingdom. He's using man and the future history of mankind. He's using man to bring about the king for the kingdom. And so you have the lineage has already been stated all the way down to like Genesis chapter number 10, where it says, you know, Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enos, and Enos begat Mahalalel, I think it is, and it goes on down and on down and on down. I don't have them all memorized. But you get all the way down to Noah, and then you have Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, right? And which one does the Bible tend to follow the most? I'm keeping y'all interacting here. Which one does the Bible tend to follow the most? Is that? Shem. Shem, yes. Follows Shem the most. So Shem, you know, he has a child, and he has a child, and he has a child, and he has a child. And then we have Terah, and Terah begets Abraham, or Abram. And Abram, living with his father there in Ur of the Chaldees, God says, get up! Get up! And go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham's like, okay. Man, wish we had that kind of faith, right? God says, I've got a plan for you. Let's go. And you're like, and we're always like, where are we going, God? That's not part of the plan for you to know where we're going. Just let's go. Abraham got up and left, and God showed him where to go. And so, surrender comes first. Then this is an extra part. This isn't part of the message, but it's part of the message. It's free for you. Surrender comes first. Obedience, submission, surrender, that comes before understanding God's plan. Once you obey, once you submit yourself to God's plan, He then reveals the details as you obey Him. That's the way it works. That one was free. So the story of Babylon, her story, Babylon's story, she began in the early days after the flood. She came to a great height at the Tower of Babel and then was scattered. Then God provides an alternate kingdom. He calls Abraham and He begins to build His kingdom. And He gives a promise to Abraham, and He continues that promise to Isaac, and then He continues that promise to Jacob, who Jacob becomes. Who's Jacob become? Israel. Yes, Jacob becomes Israel. And Israel ends up with the 12 tribes. Well, they were His sons first. And then you have the 12, well, sons and the two grandsons, Joseph's grand, you know, children. But anyhow, so you have the and if you're taking notes, this is kind of the part where you just write from Genesis to Revelation on the kingdom of man. And it's letter A if you're taking notes under number one. But God calls His kingdom. Well, here's the thing. Man happens to be a pretty stubborn creature. Man happens to be a pretty selfish creature. And we mess up. We mess up real bad. And the kings, they messed up royally, pun intended. They messed up. And then they messed up. And then they messed up again. And God finally says, that's enough. And so He takes the northern kingdom. Oh yeah, along with their messing up, they split the kingdom. And you have a northern kingdom, Israel or Ephraim. Later it becomes Samaria. But you have the northern kingdom and you have the southern kingdom, Judah. which later the whole region becomes called, it becomes Judea after Judah. So you have, and I believe it was Judah and Benjamin, right? So they split. Northern kingdom messes up a bit more than the southern kingdom to start with. And she gets taken off into Assyria, never to fully recover. She's taken off into Assyria, and does anybody remember the year? Bonus points. What? No? Old Testament, northern kingdom taken into bondage by Assyria in... That's another important date that I'm going to ask in a minute. It's not going to give you the date in the book. Do you have notes? It would be in Jeremiah 7. Close. 7. Seven twenty-one. Now we pay more attention to when the southern kingdom goes, because the southern kingdom is the one. Remember the threads. The southern kingdom is the one that's carrying the seed, right? Judah, of the tribe of Judah, of the house of David, right? So the southern kingdom is carrying the seed, and they keep messing up, and God says, "All right, time to go. Out you go. I'm sending my servant Nebuchadnezzar." Say, wait a minute, how was Nebuchadnezzar God's servant? He was an unbeliever. Well, because God used him during that time. And that was 586. Pass it back to him. Oh, it's under Noah. Right there. Pass it back to Brother Wilhelm there. 586 B.C. is when the southern kingdom was taken into... I'll just throw the whole bag at you. The whole southern kingdom was taken into captivity. I almost said taken into custody. Taken into captivity by Babylon, right? Now, this Babylon actually carries the name for the kingdoms of man. This Babylon, where was it? Anybody know? No candy for this one, though. Sorry. Where was this Babylon? Basically Iraq. Yeah. Yeah. Basically where Baghdad is today. So this Babylon, it's a great city. What? That's another reference. Now, here's another thing about these threads here. If you pull the thread Babylon, something weird happened with that thread. It's kind of like it starts here and it goes out and then it like splits and goes in. It has multiple meanings. And a lot of people, they'll hear, oh, pastor's preaching a message on, or your pastor's preaching a message on Babylon. Where is it? What city? Is it New York? Is it Rome? Is it Quebec? Is Quebec a city? Quebec City. Is it Rio de Janeiro? Where is it? You know. So. The city Babylon was Baghdad. It is not today. Now, some people say, well, Babylon is spiritually Jerusalem. There's some scripture for that. And in a sense, yes. But no. But it will be, if you want to know where will the kingdom of the Antichrist be, where will he rule? He'll rule, I believe, most likely from Jerusalem, because he's trying to imitate Jesus. So Babylon at that point is seated in Jerusalem. But when it says Babylon is fallen, it's not talking about a physical city. It's talking about the kingdom. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But her story is one of stubbornness and rebellion against God. But God still allows the kingdoms of man to go ahead and go forward. In Daniel chapter 2, and I wanted to spend some time here, but we've already used up a bit of time. But in Daniel chapter 2, you remember the image? That's the image of Babylon. The head is the head of gold, and the head of gold. And here's what's interesting about this image. This image represents the kingdoms of man overall. From that point all the way to the end, represents the kingdoms of man. And if you'll remember that Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "Thou art the head of gold." He didn't say, "Your kingdom is the head of gold." He said, "You are the head of gold." Now, does that mean that Nebuchadnezzar is the Antichrist? No, it doesn't. Even later, we find Nebuchadnezzar ends up writing a book of the Bible. That's the one chapter that's written in Chaldean. Well, it's in English in your Bible. Praise God, you don't have to learn Chaldean. but he praises the God of heaven because he realizes that he sets up and he takes down. He promotes and he demotes. God is the one that does that. But the story of Babylon, that great city, there's something... What I'm really trying to portray here is that this human government becomes such an amazing, magnificent, just... It blows us away when it comes to its culmination. Man has some pretty cool abilities, which we use for wrong. But when God gave man the ability to, or the responsibility to lead one another, to govern one another, when we come together on things, even bad things, it becomes pretty powerful. Really powerful. In fact, there's a reason it says that great city, and in another passage it says Babylon the Great. Why? Because it's a powerful, powerful government. It's a powerful force of control. In fact, many in history have called governments the beast. Not necessarily the beast of Revelation, but it is. The beasts in Revelation are governments or authority entities. So, like you have the beast being the Antichrist and the beast being his kingdom. And then you also, which we talked about, I believe, back in, like chapter 12 or 13. 13. And you have this, but this, what I'm trying to help you see, though, is that our kingdom, the kingdom of man, is by the whole world at this point, there is nothing more powerful in man's opinion. So, and we're going to deal with that a little bit more in the next point, but in man's opinion, this beast, this city, this kingdom has gotten to the point that it is more powerful in man's eyes than God Himself. That's where it gets. And the reason is because, number two, her seduction. So her story, she started early. She was born at a young age. Anybody else born at a young age? Like three of us, right? Okay. The rest of you are born really old. So she started in early human history, obviously, right? And right after the flood, about 1,566 years after creation. And this kingdom continues, but this kingdom is really good at getting its people. In our text it says, she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This is speaking of spiritual. This isn't a physical thing, this is a spiritual thing. This Babylon, she is the system of government, and she's also known, she is almost synonymous with the world. The term, when we talk about the world, right? Anybody ever wonder when pastor's like, the world or worldly, and you're like, what is he talking about? Well, that's the system. And her tools are threefold. In 1 John chapter number 2, verses 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So this system, though, her three tools are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are her three tools. This seduction that she has is, and where she draws in every nation, is the ability of this system to get a strong hold on its subjects. So, how does she do this? The lust of the eyes. Before we get into the examples, let's talk about programming. And I know we talked about this a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. Let's talk about programming. The system is not just about... That's a Jolly Rancher. That's not a warhead. The system is not just about the surface thing that we all think, oh, yeah, that's not happening to me. No, the system is deeper than that. It is designed to create greed and fear in your heart. And this system has become, and it's wider and broader than just a political system. It's wider and broader. You want to know how she gets that grip on people? Because she begins to control this. She is Babylon, the kingdom of man, the kingdom of the Antichrist. She begins to control your consumption, what you consume. In fact, in another place, it says that that Babylon and that the leadership and the Antichrist make merchandise of us. The control is to cause you to be drawn to things that you will purchase or that you will consume in some way. We are getting to an age where these things here are becoming more like a ball and chain, shackles. Now, these are very useful tools. But in your very useful tool, there's software. Then you say, oh, this wicked software. No, no, no. It's man behind the software. There's software that watches what you're doing, what you're interested in and what you're not interested in, so that it can tailor make advertisement to get you to purchase what you want. I read a book yesterday. I listened to it. I'm just going to throw it out there. Wicked. Absolutely wicked. And I'm going to tell you the title, and some of you are going to be like, how could he say that? The book, The Law of Attraction. Absolutely wicked. Somebody mentioned wanting to check it out because a lot of people talk about it. I listened to an audiobook of it, and the audiobook actually had the recordings of the interviews. It wasn't reading the book. It was the recording of what's the dude's name? Jerry Hicks interviewing someone who they named Abraham Hicks, who was a non-physical being that spoke through his wife, Esther Hicks. Yeah. And the doctrine, the teachings that Abraham, who referred to itself as we, was absolutely the doctrines of devils. It was all about you only need to be concerned with what you want and nothing else. And you will draw what you want to yourself. That's Satanism. Yeah. Abraham's the devil. Or a devil at least. And here's the thing. That is what consumes our society today. Everybody is all about getting what they want. That's what this whole thing... The lust of the eyes. Oh, I see that. I want that. Now, I understand, you know, man has... you know, we get these new phones and we get these things and, you know, the cool things that do these things and those things. And yes, you get tools. I understand that. I understand. And I understand, like, man, you go to Harbor Freight and you're like, woo, got to buy some stuff, you know. Or your brother Travis and you're like, Harbor Freight, go away. Where's the DeWalt store? And now that we say it, it's going to come up on your social media this afternoon. Something that you need. You need this particular tool. Now listen, some of it can be helpful. I understand that. It's not all evil. You know, buying things that you need for your job or for your business or for ministry, tools and things like that, it's not wrong. But that's the same, but they're using the same method. And for a while I was like, you know what? I want, you know, because people are like, it's weird. They know what you want. They know what you're thinking about. They know what you're, you know, what you're, you know, they, right? Who are they? You know, they're out there and they know you. And they know what you want. They know what to sell you. And so, but the thing is, the seduction that she has, I interrupted myself, sorry. I'm sorry. So, I'll finish the thought, then I'll go to this, back to the point. So, this, early on, and even now, I'm kind of like, you know what? I want social media to know what I want. I don't want to be offered things that I don't want to buy. Why would you? Right? I mean, if I'm looking for something, I might say, I'm looking for this, right? If I'm looking for something, I want to find a good deal on it, or I want to find, you know, I want to find a good price, or I want to find a high quality of this or that or whatever. And it might be something that I need for ministry. Like, you know, we might be looking for like a tooth bar for what do they call those things? For an excavator, for a small excavator, for a skid steer, for Pastor Kaiser. Yes. So, by the way, he said if we give him the tooth bar, he'll do the backyard for us. So, amen. Anyhow, so we might be looking for something, right? For ministry, a tool, or whatever. Or we might be, man, hasn't our kingdom got, like the system, hasn't it gotten, like, pretty advanced? It's pretty good in a few ways, in some ways, right? What's that? It can be distracting, but it can also be efficient. Anybody, oh man, you were around back in the Stone Ages with me. Back in the 1900s, remember when you wanted to study to prepare for a message? What was it like? What was it like? Tell us about it. No, I'm kidding. No, legitimately, for real. Back in the 1900s. What's it? Yeah, you get your Strong's Concordance out, boom. You get your Haley's Bible Handbook out or whatever, boom. Your Creedens maybe, and then you get your King James, you get your Concordance and then your lexicons, right? Sometimes it's the same book, and it's like that thick. And then you get those things out. And then, oh, you want to do a Bible word search? I've got the book, right? Okay, letter J. Okay, here we go. And there it is right there. Okay, these are all the verses that use that word. Okay, I mean, that's the way we used to study back in the 1900s. Man, it is so much easier today. You know, a message that would take me days to prepare takes minutes now. Minutes. I mean, you can ask me any question in the Bible. And this isn't like, hey, look at me. You can ask me any question about the Bible. And within about 5 minutes, I can find you the answer if I don't know it already. Why? Because I got this really cool tool. It's got a lot of good processing power, and it can, you know, as long as the Blue Letter Bible app doesn't crash, because it regularly does. I don't know why. You open it, and then, like, you can go to the chapter, and then you start to scroll down to the verse, and it crashes. It's like, what is this? But it does a good job searching, right? And so, but you've got all these tools that now it's right at your fingertips. You've got the internet. You want to know something about history? How quick can you know something about history? You know, you read. Remember back in the 1900s, we would read books, and we would read encyclopedias, or they would have these big square box things that you put in this thing, the VCR, and you'd watch for hours to remember something about something. Right? Remember when you were in school? What's that? Films. Yes. And you have this thing, and then it gets done. It's like flap, 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 flap. Right? There you go to the library, and you could look at the microfilms. And you're going through the old newspapers and stuff, and you're spinning through the microfilms. And does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, some of us. Okay, so for those of you that were born this century, you don't have any idea. But that to us, to millennial and older, the technology of our system, and the intuitiveness, whatever word you want to use there. I don't know. I'm like making up words as we go. The ability for something to be intuitive, where it's natural to just figure out. You don't have to like study to learn how does this work. It just becomes like. You can hand an Apple device to a child, and that's never like a little child. There aren't any in here. They're downstairs. You can hand it to them, and they'll figure it out. And they don't need any training. Why? Because it's intuitive. It is. Here's the thing, and I don't want to like get way off on this, okay? But God made man in His own image. And there is an aspect of man and his ability to organize and plan and, I don't want to use the word create, but produce things like God's create, like He creates, and He gives us the ability to invent or produce things. And so, it's amazing to see what man is capable of. God made man capable. You know what? Some of you guys, you look at other people and you say, oh, I wish I could do that. You can. You can. So some of it has to do with just learning what you need to learn. Some of it has to do with training your body to do, what do you say, like backflip? Yeah. I'm telling you, I watched somebody do it. I was at the playground over here at Keenan Stahl Boys and Girls Club over here on Troy. Yeah, I'm going to point over there. Over here on Troy, when I was, when did I go there? I would have had to have been, it was back in the 1900s for sure. It might have been the 80s, 1980s. Pretty sure it was the 1980s, yeah. So back in the 1980s, I saw a kid run across the playground and like do a round off and a backflip, and I was like, I am going to do that. And I don't know how, but what was it, like 2 weeks? I was running around doing flips. Oh yeah, well not in 2 weeks, but eventually I worked my way up to doing flips off the roof. I was doing flips, you know, I could run up a wall and do flips. Now don't ask me to do it now, I'm almost a million years old. So, anyhow, but anybody ever seen like the little short videos, People Are Awesome or something? Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? No, yes, no, okay. And you see people doing things, you're like, how in the world? You know, I was dreaming about it last night. We were at the skate park. And there was one down in, where was that? Franklin, I think, down in Franklin. We were like wandering around in the wilderness down the south, southern, south of Indianapolis. So we went to Bartersville, and there was some crazy demonic party going on. So we were like, we're out of here. And so we went over to Franklin, and there was a skate park, and it was pretty well empty. But I kept like thinking about like, see, I can't skate. I'm no good. I'll fall, break everything. But I was like running around on it, like, you know, the kids are playing and rolling and stuff, and I'm running around. I'm like jumping up and climbing on stuff. I'll be sore tomorrow. But like, you see some of those things like parkour, and the kids were like, oh man, these guys do this parkour stuff, and I used to do that. That was like me back when I was more flexible. But yes. There you go. I don't know. There's nobody else around nearby. So, anyhow, it's pretty amazing what God made man capable of. When I was in basic training, I was talking about that with them, was that Friday? I was talking about that. I'm not going to give you like my whole basic training story like I did with them. That was like, 6 hours it took us to talk about that. But there was a time, I'm kidding, it was just maybe 45 minutes. There was a time, though, that like, when we got back, and I didn't tell you this part, when we got back from block leave was they let us go home for Christmas for 2 weeks. We got back and the drill sergeants were like, you didn't do any PT, did you? And I was like, how'd you know? I did do some push-ups. Yeah, I did some PT. And so the drill sergeant's like, we're gonna make up for that. And we're all out there. In formation, he's like, and this, he was a southern gentleman, and he was about 12 feet tall, it seemed like. He was a big, big guy, like a bodybuilder, dark skin. He's like, listen, he would call us slows. It's not even a thing. He was just like, listen, slows, we're going to go to the beach. We're going to let our hair down. And I'm like, he shaved it all off. How am I going to let it down? But anyhow, we go to the beach, which was the abandoned volleyball like court. It was like a court of multiple volleyball courts, but it was abandoned because it had been overrun by fire ants. And so, so that night, I created my desert camo PT uniform. Crawling through that sand, it stained the uniform the color of sand. But I was done 30 minutes before we were done. I was physically, in my mind, I was broken. I was done. It was impossible for me to move on and move forward. But I had a drill sergeant that wouldn't let me stop. And so I kept going. Even though I was done. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but if you've never been there before, you need somebody to take you there. I'm telling you, whether we're talking physical, mental, you know, emotional, what, you know, you need to find out that what you think your limits are is wrong. You need to figure that out. But anyhow, what's amazing is God made man with such amazing abilities to do these things, to think up programming and computers and the internet and the ability to share. I think I'm just going to... Anybody else? I'm going to drop a pen. I'll pick it up for you. Anyhow. Just amazing... amazing abilities to just thank you. Oh, praise the Lord. Y'all see Brother Pastor Gimlick's notes here? Amen. all right. And that can be, yes. To my goodness, think about it. Like, hi. I said hi to, okay, Brother Bella, speaking of amazing abilities. Brother Bella, this month, uploaded all of my sermons onto Sermon Audio. We're working on some of the other ones as well now. But he uploaded all of them on Sermon Audio up to the end of August. Within 2 weeks, like 12,000 views. In 2 weeks. Yeah. Amazing. But what's more amazing is I'm looking and I'm seeing 13 views in China. 12 views in Saudi Arabia. I mean, I don't know if I can say that or not, but hi, how you doing over there? But these people on the other side of the world are watching messages I preached months ago or years ago, some of them. That's amazing. It's amazing. Oh man, there's these huge, huge airplanes flying through the air that weigh more than our church building does. Some of them. And they're just flying through the air. I mean, imagine if we just picked this building up and went flying through the air. It'd be insane, wouldn't it? But magic school bus, right? So that's make-believe. That's make-believe. So, but I'm going into all of that really to say it's pretty seductive, isn't it? The system. It is. We get to a point, we're going to get to a point in society where what we see that we want, we will have. What we desire, what the flesh desires, whatever food. Man, think about this. Do any of you even think about when certain fruits or vegetables are in season anymore? No. We don't have to. What's that? Yeah. So we don't have to as much. Now, of course, with COVID, you know, there's like a little bit of like work ethic stuff that needs to be rebuilt. But like, whatever your stomach desires, pretty much, any normal food that you eat from pretty much anywhere on the planet, you can have. And if not, it'll be there. It's only a matter of time. Right? You like Alaskan perch? You can go pick it up this afternoon. Yeah. You like what grows like only in Australia that's edible? Scorpions? No, I'm just kidding. What's that? Eucalyptus. Oh man, eucalyptus. You want eucalyptus stuff? It's available. You can go get it. Not too far away, right? I mean, there's a store down the street somewhere here that you can just go pick up something from Australia, right? Or something from India, or something from China, or something from South America. I mean, whatever you want. What's that? Yeah. The pride of life. The pride of life. By the way, that goes right along with the greed and fear as well. You're drawn in. You're drawn in. Oh man, think of what I will look like. That's one of the things in that book yesterday. It's like you picture yourself and what everybody else thinks about you and your new car that you attracted to yourself. Wicked. Anyhow, think about what I would look like if I had this, or what people would think about me if I could do that, or if I had this. That's the lust of, or the pride of life. See, these things, by the way, we carry these things around in ourselves naturally. It's not right, but it's natural. We carry it around. It's sinful, but we carry it around. It's important that we learn to reject and to say no to those things, right? That's why we try to encourage, especially during the tent season, when we do our tent meetings, we encourage people to fast. because it's practicing saying no to yourself. Saying no, 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 no. I think I gained it all back yesterday, but yesterday morning I weighed myself. I have lost like 10 pounds since the tent meeting started. Like, woo! Going to gain it all back. But, you know, anyhow, but we have to learn to say no, right? And sometimes if you can practice it for a season and then, you know what, I think I need to practice this more often. And it's hard sometimes. You know, when tent season's coming up and you're like, I know that I'm going to have to fast. I don't want to fast. Who really loves fasting? No, don't tell me. Nobody really loves fasting. We like eating, don't we? You're like, Pastor, yes, we do. So leave us alone. Let us get out of here so we can eat. We like to eat. We don't like starving. That's right. That's right. We like to have what we want. That lust of the flesh. We want what we want. Now, is it okay to eat? Yes, it's okay to eat. It's not okay to overeat. It's not okay to eat all a bunch of the wrong things. But it's okay to eat. Turn over to Revelation 18. You're right near there. Unless you turn to Genesis and Revelation 18. Let's look at the first couple of verses here. It says in verses 2 and 3, says, rather the second and third verse, we'll read first verse through third verse. And this is right along with what we're dealing with right here in Revelation 14, okay? So, it says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchandise of the earth, the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Yeah. And etc. Here's the thing. She's pretty powerful. And by design. But she thinks she's sufficient and provides all sufficiency. That's the third point. Sufficiency. Her sufficiency is the third point. I grabbed the statement to drink. She made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath. Remember the tower? What is it they said? Tower of Babel. What did they say? Let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered. What's that? That's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. So let's do this. How? Why? Because they wanted to be self-sufficient. God says, scatter. God says, subdue the earth. Take dominion over the earth. Go over all the earth. And they say, no, no, no. We don't want to be scattered. We want to be together. Because we can accomplish great things together. And that's where we're getting because the population has increased to the point where we have some connection and things and so on. So, and we do a lot of great things together, don't we? The problem is we get to a point where the kingdom, the government, becomes our sufficiency. And our power, our collective power, authority, and ability becomes our sufficiency and what we depend upon. Remember the many great kings and kingdoms that have fallen. Why? How did they fall? What happened with Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4? What did he say? I'm going to go over there real quick. No, I'll read it to you. Oh, right there. All right. So he says, the king spake and said, it is not Or is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Starting to sound a little bit like somebody else we know about. I will. I did this. Look at what I've done. Those kingdoms fall. What's that? Yes, I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. What is it? It man looks at his kingdom and is very proud of it. But along with that, though, is this system of Babylon teaches us that whatever we want, whatever we need and whatever we want, we can get from the system. Are we not getting there here in America? Need health care? Here you go. You need food? Here you go. You want a cell phone? Here you go. You want free house? Here you go. And the government becomes the one who says, "Come unto me, all ye that we don't care if you labor, just come to us." And the system, with her story and her seduction and her sufficiency, becomes the sustainer. This isn't an extra point. This is just, I'm on the third point. Third point was sufficiency. She becomes the sustainer of all people. And actually, it gets to the point where, which we'll talk about next week, where you actually have to take the mark to get to participate in the system. But this Babylon has caused such reliance that you actually become a slave without even knowing it. Anybody ever seen the memes that y'all know what memes are? All right, y'all seen the memes of like the monkey like turning into a man and then turning into a monkey again as we look at our phones, you know. You drag your knuckles and you're standing up and you're upright and you're walking and you got your spear and all that, and then you get your phone and then you're looking at it and then you're down and then you're back down on your knees again. Well, that's the sufficiency that's provided by the system. That sufficiency then sustains man in a way that he feels very comfortable. Why would I bite the hand that feeds me? That's exactly the point. But be careful, because all these things we've been talking about is treasure on earth. As he says, lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Why? Because her sinking is the fourth point. Her sinking. Yes, I just had to find a word that started with S, okay? Is fallen. Babylon is fallen. Is fallen! Babylon is fallen! Amen! She's sinking. Now, this is going to be devastating news for most of the world. They're going to freak out. They're going to say, "Whoa, what's going on here? I can't get my bread and I can't get my cheese and I can't get my whatever it is that I want. that the government provides for me. I can't get the things that I want and the things that I need. I've been relying on this, and now I'm homeless because I've relied upon the wrong thing. And now I'm penniless and I have nothing. In Revelation 18, verse number 18, it says, "And cried when they saw the smoke." Who's this? Hold on, let's back up a little bit. The merchants. Verse number 15. The merchants of these things. Man, there's so many things here, actually. It's like the whole chapter, but Yeah, I'm backing up and trying to decide where I want to stop backing up. Well, we read verses 1 through 3. Let's just start at verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." And by the way, I believe that this is a call to come out even today. Even today. It's a call to come out, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Verse number 5. "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her according to her works." And it says, "In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. "For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall have no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. The kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas! Alas! That great city, Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her. For no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet all thyan wood." There we go. "And all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusteth after are departed from thee. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. And thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas! Alas! That great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in one hour is so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas! Alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And it goes on, oh man, we're going to go on. We're going to read the rest of the chapter. And the voice of harpers. Y'all with me here? All right. The voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found no more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Wow. That city. Yes, we're going to preach this all over again when we get to chapter 18. What's that? Yeah, it'll be a little while. I don't know. We only have like two or three messages left, and maybe three or four messages left in chapter 14. But it's a big deal. That's why it's repeated like four times, or actually more than four times. It's repeated over and over and over again in the book of Revelation, that Babylon is coming to an end. Babylon will fall. And I love how the angels declare it. Babylon is fallen. As though it is, it has, and it will happen. We're almost done. Daniel 2, verse 44. I'll jump back over there real quick here. Remember that image? Verse number 44, the image, you know, the image of man's kingdom. Daniel chapter 2, verse number 44 says, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Wow. When Babylon falls, not immediately, but shortly after Babylon falls, Jesus will set up His kingdom. We talked about her story. We talked about her seduction, her sufficiency, and her sinking. And we're going to look at four applications just real fast. What's your story? What's your story? I don't mean, you know, your life story per se, but what's your story? We've been at the tent, we've been given testimonies, right? That's your story. Do you have a testimony? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does He know you? Have you trusted Christ? holy for salvation. Has she, Babylon, seduced you? Are you trapped in the cycle of greed and fear? Most people get stuck there. And life becomes, you wake up in the morning, you do some things, you go to work, you do your job, you go home, you eat dinner, you go to bed, you get up in the morning, you go to work, you do your job, and your whole purpose for existing is to pay your bills. And have some stuff that you want. That's being stuck in her system. That is trapped in the cycle of greed and fear. And I understand you got to pay, you got to take care of your family and all that. I understand that, and I'm there, okay? I do that myself. But as he mentioned earlier, seek first the kingdom, the right kingdom, not the kingdom of Babylon. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. He'll take care of the rest. That doesn't mean sit at home and twiddle your thumbs and be lazy, because there's certainly a responsibility for us to be diligent. But seek first His kingdom. Work for the Lord. Focus on His will first, and He will make sure that you have what you need. Which takes us to our third application question. Where is your sufficiency? Who do you depend on? Are you depending on the world to sustain you? Are you depending on Babylon to sustain you? Are you depending on another person to sustain you? Are you depending on yourself to sustain you? Or do you depend on God? And the fourth point. Will you sink down with her? Which kingdom will you be in? You're only in one. Now we of course, being born again, we're in the kingdom of God, but we're physically still here on this earth, and we still have to participate in the economic scenario of this earth and so on. But where's your allegiance? Where is your heart? Where does your heart lie? Is it with the kingdom of man or the kingdom of God? Which kingdom do you seek first? His or yours? His or man's? Babylon is fallen. Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed.